Welcome to Men Alive, a biblical journey to help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ. I'm your host, Paul Estabrooks. Our teacher is my longtime friend, Dr. Jim Cunningham, consultant in adult education and director of Go Teach Global. Dr. Jim.
Paul, do you think men spend much time reading the book of Leviticus?
Of the 66 books in the Bible, Leviticus may be one of the least read by men. It has lots of rules and regulations, and most men prefer to think about the freedom and liberty we have through faith in Jesus Christ.
I agree. Remember when we were immature pre-adolescent boys in Sunday school? We used to skip the chapters in Leviticus on various sacrifices and burnt offerings and then giggle our way through chapters 18's list of 20 or more forbidden sexual practices. No sex with your mother, no sex with your sister, no sex with another man or your neighbor's wife or a dog. These acts were called perverse and detestable and in some cases punishable by death. But the older I get, the more I think Leviticus is a special book to tell us as men about holiness and obedience.
This sounds like an intriguing and timely topic.
Let's begin with Moses. God chose Moses to be his spokesperson to Pharaoh. Every excuse Moses gave for why he could not be a leader, God overruled. Bottom line, when God gives you an assignment, he will give you the gifting and the resources to do his will. We need to establish at the beginning that God, our God, the Lord of heaven's army, is a holy God, and he wants those who follow him to honor him, obey him, and be holy in their lifestyle. God knows that we have short memories, so he initiated a number of reminders and celebrations on an annual basis to help his people to remember to honor him and obey him and be holy. There is a saying that if you repeat an action for 40 days, it will become a habit. It appears that 40 days is about the limit we retain a lesson. For example, the children of Israel watched Moses go up Mount Sinai into a cloud to be with God, but when he stayed up there 40 days, they assumed he had died and they made a golden calf to worship. Moses returned and was furious at their disobedience. He knew God wanted a people who honored him and were holy and obedient. Even the regulations for celebrating the Passover were very, very strict, right down to the lamb being pure, without blemish, no broken bones, and the blood had to be placed on the top and the sides of the doorposts so the angel of death would see the blood and pass over that house, thereby naming the remembrance of the ceremony the Passover.
Even the location of the blood on the doorposts in Egypt, top and sides, mark the same places where the blood was on the cross when Jesus of Nazareth was crucified for our deliverance from sin as the Passover Lamb of God.
God is a holy God, and he has expectations for how we are to honor him and obey him. Over and over, God showed his power to deliver the Israelites, and then over and over, the people forgot God and started to grumble against God and his appointed leaders. And then came the discipline, or in some cases punishment, to bring them to a place of repentance. The cycle is repeated so many times it is proof we humans have a challenge remaining obedient to God's commands. God's holiness is revealed in the precise details he gave related to the size and shape of objects of worship in the tabernacle, plus exact standards related to the dates and procedures for when and how Israel was to worship him. God even arranged a tent of meeting where Moses would go to every morning to commune with God and hear his commands. One time my Bible slid off a small chair and landed somewhat strategically in a vertical manner with the two stiff covers holding up all the pages in between. My Bible looked like a tent. At that moment, it struck me. The Bible is my tent of meeting. Moses went in each morning to meet with God and get instructions for the day. This went on for the full 40 years they moved about Sinai. That is what I must do each morning as well. Find time to meet God, to read the Bible, and to hear His voice in my tent of meeting. Paul, I'm glad we're living under God's grace at this moment in history. I'm not certain I would have made it if I had to obey every command and every detail like Moses.
The beauty of this study, Jim, is that it shows us that God still wants us to be holy and obedient today. But God has now given us His Holy Spirit within, our helper, our comforter, our teacher, to come alongside us and direct us to make wise choices and Bible-based decisions. But before you tell us more details, let me remind our listeners, you are listening to Men Alive with Dr. Jim Cunningham from Go Teach Global.
God said, "Among those who are near me, I will be sanctified, and I will be glorified." We need to remember that God has His reasons for His requirements. He wants to be sanctified and glorified by us today. It is interesting to me that every professional football game across Africa has referees, rules, and clearly marked lines on the field. These lines tell when a player or the ball is out of bounds. The referee blows a whistle, the play stops, and once all are ready, the game continues. We love a game of football that has equitable, well-enforced rules. Likewise, we drive on roads that have center lines, stop signs, and traffic lights. These rules or laws are for our protection and enjoyment, not to make our life unbearable. It's the same with God's rules. God is holy. A holy God requires honor and respect and obedience. God chose the children of Israel to be His holy nation.
Jim, you and your family lived in Jerusalem for 1 year when you were doing your research. Are the Jews who live there today seeking to be holy like their forefather Moses?
A small percentage of Orthodox Jews and Messianic Jews do seek to be holy. But a large number of Israelis today identify as atheists or secular humanists and are indifferent to God and God's word. I sense that many Jews in Israel today are actually disobeying the laws God gave to Moses and following pagan practices and foreign spirits that lead them to becoming spiritually unclean in God's eyes. Honoring God by keeping His commandments is a wise decision, even if everyone else around us is disobeying His laws. God is very patient with His people. But God will eventually bring judgment on them as He has in the past. Remember, God sent them to Babylon for 70 years because for 490 years they disobeyed God's law to let the land lie fallow for 1 year every 7 years. So God said in essence, "I've been watching, you have disobeyed, you owe me 70 years of fallow ground." In Leviticus 25:23, God reminds Israel that the land is His land, and it still is His land. God gives it to whomever He chooses. So they were to be good stewards of His land when they went in to possess it. Here's a quick test for you, Paul. I will name a top leader from the Israelites, and you tell me who he is, what he did, and why he is famous. Ready?
Okay.
Shammua, son of Zakur.
Next.
Shaphat, son of Hori.
Where are you getting these names?
They're all in the Bible. Igal, son of Joseph.
Which Bible are you reading, Jim?
Okay, Paul, I'll make it easy. Caleb, son of Jephunneh.
Oh, Caleb was one of the tribal leaders who went in to explore the land of Canaan and report back to Moses.
Right. But here's the story. 10 of those spies came back and in essence said, "We have a crisis." Remember, in the Chinese language, a crisis is a word picture of a danger over top of the word picture of opportunity. Yes, it is a bountiful land flowing with milk and honey. But the 10 spies saw the danger. We have seen the giants. But Joshua saw the opportunity and said, with God's help, we can take it. A vote was taken, 10 against going in, 2 in favor. 83% voted no go, but the majority of the spies were wrong. Now we see the holiness part of our God. God was so upset that Israel rebelled, he said, okay, because you rebelled against me and thought you would die in the land I promised you, every one of you who is 20 years old or older will die out here in the Sinai Desert. The only exceptions were Caleb and Joshua. And that night, the 10 men Moses sent to explore the land, the ones who incited rebellion against the Lord with their report, were struck dead with a plague before the Lord. Here's another example of just how holy our God is. The people were complaining again. They needed water, but rather than trusting God, they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take the staff and assemble the entire community, and as the people watch, speak to the rock, and it will pour out its water. So Moses did as the Lord commanded and assembled the people. Then he said, listen, you rebels, must we bring water from this rock? He raised his hand and struck the rock with his staff, twice with his staff, and the water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness by glorifying me to the people of Israel, you will not lead my people into the land I am giving them. That was a tough day for Moses. Now, at the entrance of the promised land, he is told, you did not uphold my holiness before the people, so you cannot enter the promised land. That's an important lesson for us, my brothers. If we do not give God credit and honor for what he does, we also withhold his holiness in the eyes of the people. Leaders must be constantly vigilant and actively engaged in fulfilling the assignment given to them by God and give him the honor. Let's agree together to honor God with holy living, obedient responses to his biblical commands, and watch his Holy Spirit help us conform to the image of Jesus Christ.
Thanks, Jim. For a printed copy or a PDF of this program, or with any questions you may have, contact Dr. Jim by sending your email to menaliveuntogod@gmail.com. Men Alive is a production of Go Teach Global. For more information, we invite you to visit our website at goteachglobal.com. Until next time, I'm your host, Paul Estabrooks, on behalf of Dr. Jim Cunningham, encouraging you to be men alive, conform to the image of Jesus Christ.